Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, what? Who cares? Marching, they never change anything.
Ah!
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Another guy, older than Jamarian, has one arm, plays college hoops. I believe it's college hoops. And he gets a significant amount of playing time. I don't know if he starts, but he gets a lot of playing time. But a one-arm basketball player runs the court, outwits opponents during a full-court press. Including dunking the ball. This with one arm. So it's mind over matter. This morning, we got a topic here. Unless you guys want to talk about something different. Topic is, are men doing enough to protect women? Are men in the American culture or Western culture doing enough to protect women? 619-768-2945. That topic or anything else you want to talk about?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway. And it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. see what he said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. Today we got as a topic, you know, if you guys want to chime in, I'm fine. If not, we can do some other trending topic. But are men doing enough to protect women? That's the question of the day. Are men doing enough to protect women? 619-768-2945. And then before I get into that, let me go through some trending news. One trending news topic here is Oscar Franklin Smith chooses last meal ahead of Thursday's execution in Tennessee. So it's this Thursday. And I'm reading, I don't know if he's still here, but anyway, Tennessee death row inmate Oscar Franklin Smith has chosen a double bacon cheeseburger, a deep dish apple pie, and vanilla bean ice cream as his last meal before his looming execution in Tennessee Department of Corrections reported yesterday. Smith, 72, is slated to die by lethal injection Thursday night at the River Bend Maximum Security Institution in Nashville, Tennessee. The meal will be delivered to him Thursday. Tennessee Department of Corrections spokesman Dorinda Carter said death row inmates typically get $20 towards a special meal before they are executed. Smith was moved out of his cell on death row on late Monday night, to a cell next to the execution chamber for a three-day period known as Death Watch. During Death Watch, the 72 hours leading up to execution, strict guidelines were implemented to maintain the security and control of the offender and to maintain a safe and orderly operation of the prison. Smith was sentenced to death on October 1st, 1989, in the 1989 killings of his estranged wife, Judith Roberts Smith, 35 at the time, and her sons Chad Burnett, 16, and Jason Burnett, 13. The brutal deaths took place inside the home on Ludi Court in Nashville's Woodbine neighborhood. Smith is a former machinist from Robertson County, shot his estranged wife in the neck and then stabbed her several times. He shot the eldest son in the left eye and then in the upper chest and left torso. Her younger son was stabbed in the neck and abdomen. At the time of the killing, Smith was separated from his wife. The couple shared twins who were ages 3 at the time of their mother's killing. Co-workers said Smith threatened to kill her on at least 12 occasions between June and August of 1989. Smith told one person he threatened to kill the boys because he said she was better to them than he was better to his 10 twin children. Smith was denied involvement. He denied involvement in the killings. Governor Bill Lee announced Thursday he would not intervene to stop the execution. After thorough consideration of Smith's request for clemency and an extensive review of the case, the state of Tennessee sentence will stand, and I will not be intervening. That's what the governor said in the emailed statement. He is one of 6 prisoners scheduled to be executed by the state of Tennessee this year. Well, interesting last meal, a double bacon cheeseburger, dish apple pie, a la mode. I'm assuming it's a la mode because he also ordered vanilla bean ice cream. And they say it'll be executed this evening. So anyway, want to talk about that. That's pretty much cut and dry. Let's see what else do they have in trending topic news. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Okay, well, anyway, while we're looking to get that page back, oh, man, I lost my studio. All right. Now, hold on, people. I gotta find the studio again. And it's repopulating now. 619-768-2945. If there are other trending topics that you might want to talk about or announcements. I'm just waiting for this to see my board again on my laptop. Anyway, question of the day is, do men do enough to protect women? And when is enough enough? And I guess you had to judge that on a case-by-case basis. Because it's, the way I see it, is no one size fits all. There was a case in the Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg area 3-4 years ago, where this couple, and we have to use color in this to picture, a black couple and their child, I think the child was maybe about three, four years old, old enough to walk. They drove up to a convenience store, and they were just going to run in and out, as many people do around the clock. So the husband got out of the car. I guess this is a very important part I missed. As they pulled up, they pulled up into the handicapped spot. Now, mind you, when they pulled up, there were no other cars on the northern vehicles and the parking areas of this particular convenience store. So they pulled up. And to the closest spot, which was one of the handicapped spots. And the father and the son, the 3 or 4 year old son, got out of the car and walked into the convenience store. And we all know that, you know, even with long lines, convenience stores are, you know, nobody really spends a whole lot of time in a convenience store. That's why they're called convenience stores. So he went in, he and the son went in there. Meanwhile, as soon as the guy and his son walked into the convenience store to do their shopping, another car pulls up, and into the parking lot, and the guy gets out. Now this was a black family that pulled up and got into the handicapped spot. Then another guy pulls up. He's alone. This is a white guy. And he tells the lady that you need to move the car because you're in a handicapped spot. Now, I don't know what she said to him after that, but whatever happened, it sparked an argument between the two in the parking lot. Standing at one car was the black woman waiting on her husband and son to come back. And right near, in another parking area, was a white man saying you need to move that car. Anyway, but argument broke out. So inside the store, the husband and the son with his 3 to 4 year old son. You know, paid for whatever they got in there, and they were leaving, and then as they got out of the door, headed back to the car, this man saw this stranger arguing or having words with his wife, the mother of his child. Or I don't know if they were married, but they had a child together. I know that much for a fact. So without finding out how it started, because she wasn't up in the other guy's face, and he wasn't up in her face. They were standing, they were not that far from each other, but they were far enough where they couldn't touch each other. You know, one was standing at her car, and the guy was standing at his car. Okay. So the guy steps out of the store, and he sees that this guy is having an argument with his woman. And what he does is he goes over to the man who is arguing with his woman or having words with her. And he pushes him to the ground. While the guy was on the ground getting up, all right, the guy who had got pushed to the ground by the man, I guess he felt he was defending the honor of his woman. The guy gets up, pulls out a gun, and shoots the man in front of his woman and his 3 to 4 year old son. One shot. So the man grabs his hand, he grabs his son's hand, and makes his way, stumbling, but he makes his way back into the convenience store to try to call for help. I don't know if his girlfriend or whatever had a cell phone or whatever, but goes inside, goes and then stumbles, falls, and a short time later was declared dead, if he was not declared dead on arrival, but that happened. So, now, of course, hindsight's 20/20 vision, but, a scenario like that plays out the same way in different parts of the world on a day-by-day basis. One way, ladies and or gentlemen, how would you have handled that situation? I mean, would you do what he did? Even with the Oscar thing, you did have several women. Tiffany Haddish is one of them. That sided with Will Smith. She thought it was very honorable of him to defend the honor of his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. So, my question is, up in Chicago, as well as other cities around the globe, a lot of cities that have these prolific homicide statistics, I'm sure within those statistics, you'll find your share of homicides that happen because A man was defending the honor of a woman. That woman could be his mother, sister, cousin, girlfriend, wife, what have you. But in the, how far should we go? How far should men go? And it's the way I see it, it's, you know, you got to judge it on a case-by-case basis. You got to judge it on a case-by-case basis. Six one nine seven six eight 2945. If you can answer that question, there's no right or wrong answer, I guess, or any other trending topic.
Don't.
You know what? I did a whole rant, and my mic was muted. Okay, look. Are men doing enough to protect women? 619-768-2945. What are your thoughts?
You see that? I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Men, all this stuff you heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxers. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Because the very thought of losing is hateful to Americans. Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, by God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do. Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. Let the Hun do that. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose. Now, there's one thing that you men will be able to say when you get back home. And you may thank God for it. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee, and he asks you, what did you do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, well, I shoveled shit in Louisiana. All right, now you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. I will be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That's all.
Okay, that was General, well, George C. Scott playing the role of General Patton. Anyway, today's question of the day is, are men doing enough to protect women? And I guess there's no right answer for that, because every situation is different. It all depends on the situation. All right, anyway, back to, so anyway, that's a question of the day. Some of the trending topics that we brought up were the guy that's set to be executed tonight in Tennessee, his last meal. Another trending topic, Michelle Obama's brother and his wife are suing the school over, I guess I'm just generally speaking here, paraphrasing some racial, possible racial bias at a prestigious private school in Milwaukee. Let me ask you that question. If you had a child or grandchild and you were financing it in a private school, and there was some question of racial bias, A, would you sue the school like Michelle Obama's brother and his wife? Would you take that option? B, pull them out of that school and re-enroll them into another school? C, homeschool? Or D, start your own school? There are the four options I'm putting out there for that. What would you do if you were Michelle Obama's brother and or sister-in-law? They've chosen, the option that they've chosen is they're suing the school. Now, the school expelled their sons. I'll throw that in there, too. So, if they got expelled, here are your choices. Not suspended, but kicked out of school. All right. And I'm sure there's probably more backstory to that, but I didn't get any of that from the article. So, all right, they get kicked out of school, A, move them to another school. Option A. Option B, okay, homeschool. And if you don't have that skill set, then there's a whole lot of homeschooling networks in the United States now. It's everything, every subject you can think of, including extracurricular activities, is in the homeschool co-ops around the country now. So that's another option. Or C, start your own school. Start your own brick and mortar, like a la Umar Johnson, maybe not as large and grandiose. You know, but find your little storehouse. You know what? You can start a school right under a tree. Tuskegee Institute, a university, was started in a run-down shack. That's where that started. But me personally, it's just me personally, I wouldn't waste my time and money suing a school that expelled my kids. Why? All right, not suspended, but expelled. That means they kicked them out. That means, for whatever reason, they don't want to have the kids in the school. I'm not going to go to court to sue you, take my kids back, or get any money out of you whatsoever. That's just me. If I was around during the lunch counter days of the civil rights era, I'm not doing a sit-in. I'm not going to sit at a restaurant. I'm not going to enter a restaurant that does not want my business. No, that's number one. If you don't want my business, I'm not going to sit there and attempt to force you to take my business. Number two, I'm not going to trust you to prepare my food and drink. You can spit in the drink and you can spit in the food. These days you got sickos that put fentanyl in shit. I'm not going to trust, because, you know, food's special now. That needs to be served with love. I'm not going to, during the sit-in days, I guess that's why I was born later, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to force somebody to take my business that does not want my business. And that's all right. Because more than likely, there was a black cafe or a diner next door or across the street, or it could have been a white one, that would gladly take my money and give me good food and good service. But I'm not going to go to court and force you to accept me. I'm not going to do it. Because there's so many other options out here. That's one thing about I've noticed, probably some of you have noticed it too, you know, with desegregation and all that. And, you know, like, you know, with the troops, what do you call those people? National Guard. No, if you're protesting, we don't want you at my school. I'm not going. Because there's so many, there's no shortages of schools out here that will accept you. And then that hung up. And you know what? I'm looking at it. Every school, every business has their own policy. If you got 10 schools and one doesn't take you or two don't take you, there are 8 more that will take you. Or, you know, you come up with your own thing and go from there. But I'm not forcing anybody to take my money. I'm not forcing anybody to live with me. You know, if you don't want me in your neighborhood, great. I'll go find another one. Or I'll buy a plot of land and make my own neighborhood. How's that? Anyway, those are just some of the trending topics. Pick any one of them, including our Western, and I guess Western men. Are they, and that, you know, that's very subjective. Are they doing enough to protect women? And that all depends on the situation. That all depends on the situation. Like in the case I gave, where a man walked out of the convenience store, and him and the woman and other, you know, it's we'll put it this way. I don't do drama. But that's me. Okay. 410 area code. Your mic is open.
Hold up, Brother L.A. And to all of the people that are listening out in your audience. We had a very lively conversation yesterday, didn't we?
We sure did.
You know, I just love it when I put some out there. And then you have the naysayers like my boy over there in St. Louis struggle to try and dispute it. And I, you know, before I get in your subject, I want to say this. If you own something and you sell it to another person, whatever was attached to that, say like for an example, you sell a house.
Uh-huh.
And you sell it to another person and you had a second mortgage on that house. And the other person buys it, clears the title and everything else. Do you have any rights to that house, or do you have any responsibilities that is attached to the house from then on out?
After you sell it?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You sold it. The responsibility moves to somebody else, the new owner.
That's what that idiot was saying yesterday that followed me up on that phone call. He said that slaves in Africa owed those African people damages because they did something that they caused damage to their property, or they owed them some money or something like that. But once they sold those slaves and they was on the boat, they don't have any legal right to come back to descendants of those slaves and say, well, you know what? Your ancestors owe me money. And the thing is, I'm here to claim title to it. Now, I don't want you to agree with me, but just think about that, what he said yesterday. Once they sold those slaves or traded those slaves for value, they can't come back to those slaves and say, well, you know what? You owed me before you left, and you didn't settle that debt. That debt was settled once that transaction was made. I just want to put that out there.
Good point.
But don't say nothing, L.A. Don't say nothing, because I don't want you to get in trouble. But now, look, let me go a step further. Because, see, you're a moderator. And the thing is, I don't want you to lose friendship. But let me give you another one. See, you guys have never been raised out in a rural area. There used to be a time, and this has been in the Bible, but I'm going to get to the Bible part. A guy will come to a farmer and say, look, you know, I ain't got no money to buy my family some food. And the thing is, you know, I ain't got no money and I ain't got no job. But if you would go in and lend me some money to get some food for my house, what I'll do is work it off. You tell me how many days or how many hours I need to give you to pay this debt off until I can get on my feet. I'll work for you to give me enough money to buy food for my family. I'll work it off. That's the way slavery was back in Africa. You didn't have money that you could transact. You had some gold or some quarry shells. But if you were so poor, and look, everything was based on an agrarian society, which means the only thing you had to barter would be animals or your labor or ever what have you. And those
That's
people
true.
Say, well, look, I got a boy here of age. What I'll do is I'll give him to you until that debt is paid. That's what slavery was back in that day. Now,
you're absolutely right.
I don't want you to say nothing, L.A., because, see,
Because the monetary system that we know did not exist then. And you're right. That's the way they operated.
That's my point. But the thing is, I don't want you to get in this because, see, that's between me and him. And I want to, you know, go ahead on and grab him by the damn throat and let him understand what's going on. Now, the other thing, he said that, hey, look, the best thing for a person to do when they encounter danger is to run. If you can, yeah, run. But if you can't, you're going to have to stand your ground. And the trick is this. Walter Scott in South Carolina ran, which he was wrong.
He did.
And the man shot him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Shot him in the back and planted some evidence on him. So you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You know, if you can stand there and you can defend yourself, do it. Trayvon Martin defended himself because they told that bastard, say, don't get out of your truck. Don't approach this person. He went and did it anyway, which he was in the wrong. for doing that. Trayvon Martin was just defending himself. But if Trayvon Martin had a run, I can only imagine what would have happened to that boy. But the thing is, you know, you got some fool come up there. Well, you need to run. Sometimes you can't run. But if you can, yeah. But if not, you try to defend yourself where you are. That's what you do. Now, the other point about this Congolese guy that got shot in Grand Rapids, The cop had no other choice but to shoot him. Now, whether he shot him in the head or what have you, the guy left himself open to whatever happened to him. I believe in right. But the thing is, I'm just saying, you know, I keep hearing all of this stuff come up. See, you can't get back to the brother to try and talk some sense to him because, see, he comes in at the end of the show. But I just want to throw that out there. And this we stuff, now, he can be separate if he wants to. He can think he's something else other than black or Negro or colored. Ever what the hell he classify himself as. Now, he can think whatever the hell he think he is, but society see him one way, and that's black. So now he can't come with that wee shit. He don't know who it is. All he has to do is be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the thing is, now he may think he's something else, but it's what society see him as, and I'd like to see what's on his damn license if he drives. See what classification he is. And I hope he's hearing this. Because, see, you know what? It's hard to speak wisdom on the ears of a damn fool. That's in the Bible. Now, in the Bible, slavery was put this way. It says that if a man go in and cause damages to your property, your ox, or whatever, what have you, then he is supposed to be a slave. But once that slave has done his time or paid that debt, the person that person was a slave to was supposed to give that slave enough to go out on his own or her own to do what the hell was supposed to. They weren't supposed to let them out there with nothing. They were supposed to give them enough once they left their enslavement to go out there and start something on own. You can read that in the Bible, but I just wanted to throw that out there because, see, you can't answer him back because he strategically waits until the last minute to come up there because, see, you can't go in and challenge some of the foolish shit that he says, and I hope he's listening to that. Now, getting back to the subject.
You know what? On the thing of slavery in the Bible, one example would be I think the court agrees with what you're saying, is 2 Kings 4:1-7, where the widow lady, her husband had passed, but he owed a debt to a creditor. So the creditor comes by the house one day and says, look, your husband passed away, but he owed a debt. So if this debt isn't paid, we are going to take your two sons as slaves, and they'll work the debt that your husband left behind, and that'll be that. Now, the wife didn't want that. So what she did was she went to this property lodge, and he told her what to do. Long story short, in modern terms, they started a family business, and they made enough money to pay back the debt and then have money to live off of. But you're right, back during those days, and probably even now, just if people can't pay the debt, you know, some people will call it slavery or what have you. So,
well, now look, LA, there's other examples besides that in Leviticus. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Leviticus where I just mentioned my part. Now that's one part, but in Leviticus, the judiciary system had this thing where I just mentioned, you know, and look. If a slave could volunteer to say, well, look, I got it so good here, I don't want to leave. But they had that option. And I'll send you the Bible verses so you can read it for yourself. Because, see, I like to make sure that what I'm talking about is factual. And if I'm wrong, then I'll admit that.
And
I'm
sure there were quite a number of slaves that, it might sound crazy to us, in 2022, that you're right, they had it good where they were. They had clothes, they had food, they had shelter, they were safe. And it, you know, they were good doing. I mean, some slaves, particularly some black women, would run the clothes plantations.
You know, they were that master's mistress.
Oh yeah, that's
they
right.
were his concubine.
Yeah,
but you're right. But now, all I'm telling you, and look, this fallacy that's been preached out here on your program that a lot of slaves got paid. See,
now some did, now Beasley.
You said the right word. Some did,
some.
But a very minute few got paid. And I don't want this illusion get out there that, you know, you were working and getting paid like you do today. You weren't doing that. You know, they'd contract slaves out, some of them, and they none of the slaves would get the damn money. Yeah, they contract slaves
out. That's true also. That's true also.
Yeah, the thing is, this thing about a whole lot of slaves getting paid, no, that wasn't the case. It was a very minute few. And the thing is, you know, it seems like on this conversation, like, you know, a lot of slaves were getting paid, which wasn't the case. But now, getting back to your stuff, no, black men don't do enough to protect their women, because if they did, we'd be challenging drug dealers in our area. You know, because look, when a woman bears your child, the thing is, it's, I told you yesterday, the responsibility of a male is to protect this territory and protect this woman and his family. And one of the ways you protect a woman is to protect her offspring. And we let anything go in our neighborhood, this drive-by shooting, these gangs and everything. The black men, upstanding black men, are supposed to make sure that that don't happen in their neighborhood, because white boys don't allow that to happen. Italians don't let that happen. I went with my wife one time to a 99 cent in Canarsie, which was an Italian neighborhood. And by me being from the country, I thought maybe I needed to lock my car. And she said, no, you don't have to lock your car here. You can leave it just like it is, because everybody knows that if they come in there and mess with your stuff, they're going to be dealt with, because the mob patrols this area. And see, the mob, the Italian mob, gets a bad rap. They call it extortion money, but when they rent to you for protection, that protection was just like a tax for them to patrol that area to make sure nothing happened to your property. But see,
right.
the government smeared them and said, well, that's racket money. No. They say, look, your property, we will protect your property, but you got to pay a fee. And I had to do that when I was in Baltimore. I didn't have to worry about my store being robbed or anybody spray painted or anything like that, because the Nation of Islam patrolled my street. Now, I made a deal with them. I said, look, I'll sell your papers and I'll give you something. They said, no, if you sell our papers, we'll patrol your area. We'll make sure nothing happens to your property. And for the time I was there, nothing happened to my property. And there was a deal there in D.C. I don't know if you were living there at the time, where they had a security contract for those projects.
Oh, Clifton Terrace. Yeah. Yeah.
While
it
was there,
time.
they cleaned that
place up. They cleaned all that up.
They cleaned it up. No shooting, no drug dealing, no nothing. And
right.
The white boy went through there, especially them Jews now, and I'm calling names. The Jews say, now we don't want them in there because they'll be proselytizing the people that live there and having them become members of the Nation of Islam, which they're anti-Semitic. And they did it over in some other projects over in the Midwest, but they patrol that area, and the woman said, you know what? Before they got here, we couldn't even come outdoors, and the children couldn't even play. And say, when they got here, we could sit out, our children could play safely, and there was no drug dealing and everything else. But see, the white boy don't want a peaceful situation in our neighborhoods, because, see, that's part of the oppression. But the thing is, no, we don't protect our women enough. And we don't even protect our damn self. Because when you hear stuff like I heard yesterday from my buddy over there, see, he's of this mentality that a black man is supposed to run when he sees danger. where the other racial ethnic groups say you run to danger and you eliminate it. Now, I know that's harsh words to say, but see, when you practice racism, self-preservation, and survival of the fittest. Now, the last thing I'm going to deal with, because I want you to bring it in here, because I've said some insulting things about it. I'm like you, L.A. I don't go where I'm not wanted. And my thing is this year. That's why I give all honor to the Nation of Islam and the honor of Elijah Muhammad. Get your own stuff. That way you can control it, and you ain't got to go to nobody else for anything, and you ain't got to take no shit from nobody else.
Right.
And the thing is this. Well, you and PR is too young to know this, but see, they had to make black folks go to white schools because the only way that these white schools could get federal money was they had to integrate those schools, because that's the only thing that the federal government had control over, was the money that was going to these states to go in and support the educational system. And the federal government told them, say, well, look, you can have segregated schools in your state, but you don't get federal money to go in and operate them. The only way you're going to get federal money is if you got to have integrated schools. So instead of them building up and bringing black schools up to standard, they say, well, I can't have, the white boys say, I can't have my children go to them raggedy schools because we ain't been funding them. So the best thing, and plus I don't want my children going there where they might be outnumbered by black students that might be hostile to them. So the best solution is to bus them. And that's how busing came about. Because the thing is, they didn't want to put the money in the black schools. But they know that in order for integration to come in there, they had to accept federal money. And that's the only reason they integrated schools. But I'm like you. That's why my daddy built the store that we owned. A white guy pissed him off in the store where he was doing business at. He said, well, shit, I don't have to take this shit. He built his own damn store.
Yeah, that's the thought I'm from. Build your own.
And he got just as much respect as he would have if he had a march to beg somebody to go into that place. See, I ain't going to kiss your ass to spend my money with you. I ain't going to beg you to take my money.
Right.
And that's what this whole integration thing was all about. Martin Luther King and all of them baited into going in and going into somebody else's stuff instead of building their stuff. And I'm going to tell you, the guy that brought it in there, Bayard Rustin, he was the one. Because when Martin Luther King and all of them first marched, they said, look, we want the same thing for our children's school as you got for your white schools. And that's what they were marching for. And that's what it is. But see, the white boy flipped the script. And I'm going to get off and let my boy come in there because I say some pretty insulting things about it.
Well, if he's out there, he's quiet this morning. But we got another person here. 425, your mic is open.
Hello.
Good morning, Robert.
The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence taketh by force. So you definitely stand your ground, because when you run, they just automatically think, well, now they're chasing you and they already know you ain't wrong, right? But if you run, they go, well, you must be doing something wrong, and you know you did something wrong because otherwise you wouldn't be running. Okay? That's how they justify shooting you in the back. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the best defense is an offense. Okay, it used to be, you remember how, I wish a nigga would?
Well, they do it now.
Fuck around and find out? Well, before, that people knew you wasn't just going to go mess with somebody. And you just wasn't going to go chase somebody down and blah, blah, blah. Where whatever this sense of entitlement that they got going on now, that regular citizens that are not the police feel that they can police other people and judge and jury and shoot, convict, shoot, and kill them. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. So, and then that thing about are men doing enough? You know, I think that people do the best that they can. Okay, and when in the marriage the two become one, and it's one, it's neither male nor female, even though there's still the roles and the purpose. Man has a purpose and woman has a purpose, okay? But when the two marry, they become one. And so as a whole, they work together to protect the family unit and keep each other safe. That's how that works, okay? Under the leadership of the husband, from the wisdom of God, and that's all.
All right, hold on. Yeah. Let me ask you, I heard this in a clubhouse discussion within the last day or so. A guy brought up, this is his opinion, he says in the United States that in the white community at large, that they run on a patriarchal system in black families. Whereas in the United States, in the black community at large, that it's a matriarchal society.
Yeah.
Black women run the household. What do you guys think on that, though?
That's because of, since the 1930s, when they instituted the welfare system that says if there's an able-bodied man in the household, you can't collect welfare. So that was the first generation of men leaving the household. But they did it. The family unit was still intact. They weren't separated. They were married, but they just had to physically leave. Okay, so that's the first generation of children being born without that father present in the home. And then as you have further generations going downwards, where now more women are getting more rights and more jobs and more pay, right? Now we're used to single parent homes and stuff like that. But the black man, he didn't leave the home because he wanted to. And he wasn't the only man that had to leave the home. White men too, when they instituted the welfare system. Yes. So.
And there are a lot of single white women out there, mothers.
So we women had to be independent. There were the war. So when they had the war, there weren't men available to work. So women, black women and white women, had to go and work in the factories and wherever. Remember? Yep. All of this is fostering this women's independence, and we're not having these conversations like, you know what, the father is still, whether he's in the home or not, whether you're a single parent, whether you're married or not, you can still parent. You don't eliminate either party from the parenting process just because y'all don't get it together. And you know, and so we don't teach. We don't have those conversations where, well, this is how we're living, but this is the ideal situation. So these values and rites of passage, if you will. Okay? We don't do that. We just lead by example. We get up, we go to work, we go to college, we get a student debt that puts us in bondage. So then we go get a mortgage and a car note, and then we teach these to our children. We don't teach them how to get a business and start your own legacy and like that. Okay? We don't teach them about wealth creation and things like that. Okay? Yep. How many women these days right now are even telling their grandchildren things that their grandmothers told them and taught them? It's not happening.
Yeah, that's true.
Brother L.A.
Yes, sir.
Look, I'm going to rock the boat here. This is a matriarch society. Now,
you're speaking of the United States in general?
Yeah, listen.
Okay.
The first 5 years of a child's form, first 5 years of a formative, the formative years of a child is controlled by who?
The mother, typically.
The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world through her children. And look, here's the other thing. When you go to court, you done hit some woman. What did that judge tell you? He said, you have hit my woman. And he gives you, I mean, he puts the wood to you, doesn't he?
Yeah, throws a book at you.
Now, Robin is right. But the trick is this. I'm not going to give the black man a pass. Now, all the rest, I don't have anything to do with them other folk. The most precious thing that a woman can give a man is her body. And the most valuable thing on the planet she can give him is her offspring, his child.
Right.
I don't give a damn if the welfare system says, look, you got to get out of that house. There's no excuse for that man to abandon a woman that has given birth to his child. Now, you can take it any way you want to, but I gave you the laws of nature. And the thing is this. That woman, now you can say what you want to. Now, I've dealt with women all my life. I don't know, well, I know Robin hasn't, but Robin has seen this. When that woman gets in there and start digging in that man's behind by nagging him and does whatever she wants him to do, he's going to do it. Now, he may get pissed off. He might put his hands on her. But in the end, he's going to do what the hell she tells him to do. And that ain't his mother. Look, have you ever heard of honeydews?
Honeydew list.
That's right. Now, when she come in there, now look, she ain't as strong as he is. And look, he may be overbearing, but when she tell him, look, I want you to go out there and I want you to do such and such and such and such, and she keep nagging his behind, he's going to do it. Now, what black women have done is they have failed to learn the art of control, not controlling a man, but supporting a man and getting a man to be a man. That's a lost art now. But when I was coming up, yeah, the man told a woman what to do, and sometimes he controlled that money. But he knew he had to go out there and get groceries, and he had to put a roof over their head. And he had to make sure that, hey, look, in my day you had to go out and cut wood and everything else. The woman didn't do that. Now, she cooked and cleaned and had the children and washed and all of that stuff. But what I'm telling you is that in the end, they may not display the power they used to, But see, a man don't pick a woman. A woman picks a man. And that's nature too. She looks for the man that she lacks. Now, the man thinks he's the one that's going out there rapping and getting the woman. But no, if that woman don't want him, he ain't getting that woman. So the woman has
that's
the
true.
Power.
Yeah,
they just
true.
Don't. Have, they just lost the art of using that power constructively the way they're supposed to. But yeah, the white boy might go out there. He can tell this woman to do any damn thing you want to. But I'm gonna tell you this here, brother LA. A sister tell you I left my mama home. You don't tell me what to do. Now you might have to slap her upside the head, but she tell you I'm grown. Shit, my mama home. You don't tell me what to do if you're wrong. Now, if you're right, the most loyal species on the planet is a black woman. A black woman will die for a black man if he's right. But if he ain't worth a shit, she'll leave him right out there where he's supposed to be at. And she won't give all of herself to him. So now, you know, that's my take on it. Now, y'all
well,
are different.
See, in the oneness, see, that's what people seem to forget. When you get married, you become one. The two of you make up one whole. So there's really no working against each other or one is over the other, because
that's
you're
right.
Meeting in the middle. Good, it's all okay.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
And so it's like really it should be about, you know what, I like how you treat yourself. That's what it should be, because how you treat your spouse is how you should treat your own self, because that is your own self, because that you're joined and you're one now. That's what people don't get. They don't
yeah.
meld into that. They always have this me, and that's why they have that power struggle when it's not even a power struggle. That's not even an issue. It's
that's
stupid.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
You're absolutely right. But the thing is, see, Brother L.A., we let other people dictate
yeah.
our culture. And the thing is, they knew that if they separated the man from the woman back in slavery, and look, I'm going back to your boy here talking about that slavery stuff. Yeah, we're suffering from some of that system. He knew that if he could separate the man from the woman, see, a man has nothing else, no real other responsibility if he doesn't have his woman in his life, or he can't look at a woman as his own, and like Robin said, as his own body. And they
mm-hmm.
knew once they separated that man from that woman, see, they could control that man any kind of way they wanted to, because he had no purpose in life. And that's
no
some
purpose.
Of the things.
You strip him
that's
of his
right.
purpose and his livelihood and his legacy all
that's
in
right.
one fell swoop.
That's right. That's right. And the thing is, we felt for the okey-doke, because now that those systems are in our brain, when we're supposed to get rid of that and get back to where we're supposed to be. And that's where the fault lies at right there. See, a lot of people say, well, that slavery was back then. No, hell no, you brought that forward, because that culture is still
mm-hmm.
there. But you can't
mm-hmm.
get some food to see that, because the thing is, when Africans came over here, they had a culture. We don't have
mm-hmm.
that culture anymore. Now, I'm going to give you this. That African out in the bush can walk around a woman all day long with just a loincloth around her waist.
Right.
And he knows who his woman is, and that woman knows who her man is, and they ain't got to worry about another man or another woman messing with their spouse.
And
that is true.
That's the height of civilization. We come over here, you got on clothes and everything else, and somebody wants to covet your spouse or whatever belongs to you or your children.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, we call them savages. We're supposed to be civilized. But they
mm-hmm.
look, they they make sure they raise each other's children. Now, that was in my neighborhood. When I was coming on, everybody raised children. If I went down to Sally Sue's house and I was cutting up, Sally Sue had the right and the authority to make sure she corrected me. Now you don't have that.
And you get corrected from every house all the way home, too.
That's right. So the thing is, Brother Elliot, all I'm telling you is that don't fall for the okey-doke. Because the thing is, if you look at our culture and you look at just some of the semblance of it after slavery, we have some of those things in place. That's why come everything is a ball of confusion now. But you can't get some people to think outside the box, to either look back over our culture, or as Robin said, our legacy, and see how things was done. But no, this thing about, the black community still has some semblance of a matriarchal system. But the thing is, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And the thing is, the first 5 years of your formative life is given to you by a woman. And the thing is, the way most men and most women see things is because of that first 5 years that they had under that woman's tutelage. And that makes it a matriarch society.
Yeah.
You brought up a good point. What I'm thinking, when you said, I'm thinking about the Maasai tribe in East Africa, Kenya to be exact. And you're right. Matter of fact, all over Africa, we're in those rural areas. Women, you know, culturally, nobody, there's no rape or nothing like that. It's the women are walking around half naked. You can see their breasts. But over here, in the so-called civilized world, we're covered up and people commit rapes.
Adultery and everything else.
Everything else, right.
But now, look, I'm going to say this here, and Robin, I want you to jump in. And I keep going back to this model, because this model is really black culture. Malcolm X said, a Muslim will kill you over his woman. If you put your hands on a Muslim woman, a Nation of Islam woman, they're going to deal with you. And one of the other things is the first 3 years now look, it's not a religion. They call it the Nation of Islam. In that fraternal order, if you're a member and you're a male or female in the first, if you're not married after 3 years, they kick you out. They kick you out. Because the thing is, they want order in their society. So the thing is, and look, they have a MGT, which is Muslim Girl Training School, that they separate the girls so that the women, the older women, can train them in the art of being a woman. And they have the Fruits of Islam, which the males go to separate from girls, so that they'll know how to be men in their society. So, I mean, they brought all of that forward. But now what we've done is, see, we bought into this savage system, this system of savages. And that's why can we have chaos in our neighborhoods. Now, Robin may disagree with this. Bianca may disagree with this. You may disagree with it. But just look at how they're structured. And all you do is look at the African society. And you'll see the woman run things over in Africa. And I don't mean run. Robin said it right. When you marry a woman, you're supposed to be a team. You have your responsibility in this team and what you're supposed to do, and the man has his role. And those roles are supposed to mesh so that you can have one harmonious union. And that's what this whole thing is all about. But see, we're not taught that. And that's why come you hear these off-the-wall suggestions like the white boy, he is a patriarchal society, and the black is a matriarchal society. If you look closely, The white woman runs every damn thing, too. Who's the richest people in the society? It's a damn
Queen
white
of England.
Woman. Say
the
again?
Queen of England. The Queen of England.
That's right.
I rest your case.
Well, man, go out and earn that paycheck and turn it over to the woman. Much of the time.
And then what does she do? She takes and she buys things for the offspring, for that man, for the home, the food,
right?
The whatever, and then she does everything within that home for him to come home and be, you know, the husband, be the lord over his reign. Yeah. And it should be nice. It should be lovely.
Hey, Brother L.A.,
yes,
I want to say this because we're in a conversation, and Robin, I want you to forgive me. Queen Nzinga was at war with the Portuguese, and the men say, look, you know what? Their weapons are more superior than ours, and the thing is, you know, we, and I'm paraphrasing, they say, we can't win. Queen Nzinga called a meeting and said, look, I think that was her name. She says, I want all the men on this side, all the women on this side. And she says, you know what? I'm going to lead the fight. Any male that feel like you're not worthy to be fought for, I want you to go to your hut, and I want you to close the room to your bedroom. The men said, wait a minute, Queen, this is too harsh. What we'll do is we're going to go out here, and we're going to fight again. And they went out there, and they kicked the Portuguese ass. The Portuguese got in their boat to go to their sailboats. They followed them to the sailboats, and they followed that sailboat all the way out until they couldn't see it no more. And
the
I said,
power
that
of the vagina.
But look, let me give you this. Brother L.A., when a woman get mad with you and she says, well, I don't feel like doing nothing tonight, and you've been having an argument over something that she felt like needs to be done or something that she wanted, and she said, well, look, you know what? I don't feel like doing that tonight. Guess what? You're going to get that done or you're going to get what she wants. Okay? And Robin
said
it
often happens.
Yeah, I don't think that that's necessarily right or fair. I think when you're doing anything that's manipulative, I don't like that because I don't think it's necessary. I think that you should be able to have a communication and dialogue, you know?
But that does happen.
You should be able to say, hey, babe, can blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, okay, babe, yeah. And then they get it done when they get it done, and you don't nag them and bother them about it. How about
well,
that?
Look, sometimes communication breaks down. You got to do what you got to do. James Brown said you got to use what you get. Use what you got to get just what you want. Now,
okay,
when communication breaks down,
however
you
communicate in dialogue, as long as it's not any manipulation, that's why I just can't get
well. Well,
I agree, but
story
when communication breaks down.
Yeah, I know.
But when
well,
communication
you know what? This
breaks
is this is what I say. If you find yourself, you know, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked." So if you find yourself unequally yoked, just yoke them up. Yoke them up.
And on that note, we're going to wrap it up for today. We'll see what's tomorrow, Friday. See you guys tomorrow, Friday.